Let's take a moment to pray. El Shaddai, all-sufficient God, we come before you and we ask that you will give us understanding today as we learn to worship you in new ways and cast a vision for tomorrow. Please be with us today and help us to honor you. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. So I've been debating about how to start the sermon. I have five different introductions, and I don't think I'm going to do any of them. So over the last several months, I've been praying about 2018 and kind of where the sermons need to go this year, where the focus needs to be. And as I've done that, what keeps coming to mind is the names of God. To really focus on there's all these different names of God used in the Bible, and to focus on a different name each week. And so the first one I want to focus on is El Shaddai. And there's the definition of this Hebrew word that's used for God is much debated. It's used 48 times in the Bible. And sometimes it just says Shaddai, sometimes it says El Shaddai. But one of the definitions really stood out to me, and I want to start by focusing on that. And that is that God is the source of our nourishment. That God, that as God reveals himself to us, it's like we're an infant and God is the mother who doesn't bottle feed. The mother who is there for her brand new infant. That's El Shaddai represents that. And so when you think about like new parents, they're tired all the time, right? And it's especially new mothers who aren't bottle feeding. Like, they feel like all they do is they feed the child and the child sleeps. They feed the child. That child is not at all self-reliant, not at all self-sufficient. It's 100% reliant upon their parent. And so one of the main ways that God has revealed himself to us is like that mother. It comes from this word shadayim, which means breast or sufficiency and nourishment. And the first time God reveals himself as El Shaddai is in Genesis 17:1. And this is what it says. It says, "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am El Shaddai. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers.'" Often when God refers to himself as Shaddai or El Shaddai, it's right before he blesses the people or right before God tells them they're going to be fruitful. They're going to multiply. And so one of the other visions for this next year for us as a church is this theme of come worship with joy at God's table. And that word come, that word invitation, I really hope will be a big part of who we are this year as a church. That we will be a church that invites people and we say, come, join us. And in that, when we worship God, that we worship God as the El Shaddai, the one who blesses us with nourishment and makes us fruitful. That's what God does for us. There's another word definition that people have come up for El Shaddai. So the one is Shaddayim, is the root. The other is Shaddad, which is destructive strength. I like the idea of God being nourishing more than destructive strength, don't you? But that ends up being actually the translation that when they translated the Hebrew to Greek, the Greek translators actually chose to go with that, and that's how we get God Almighty. So when you look up El Shaddai and you ask, what does it mean? Often people will say God Almighty, and in the New Testament, whenever you read God Almighty, it's Shaddai or El Shaddai. I want to read one passage that gives you kind of a context for that. It's Isaiah 13:6. So you can kind of hear what that sounds like. And I'm going the wrong way. Or I'm not. Okay. Isaiah 13:6. Says, "Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Shaddai." So that's one of the places that gives credit to that translation. Another translation is if you break up Shah and Dai, you get Shah who and Dai is enough. So God who is enough. So this is the idea that God, it kind of fits with God being like the mother nourishing her child.
God is enough. God is everything you need. Everything you need. And then another way it's been translated is they actually look at it as an acronym. You know, like how you take the first letter and it means one thing, second letter. And they say it means God who is guardian of the doors of Israel. So the Jewish community today will use that a lot. When they say, what does El Shaddai mean? They say, God who is the guardian of the doors of Israel. Today I want to cast a vision for you. And the first vision is to worship God as your El Shaddai. To worship God as the one who nourishes you and is absolutely everything you need. And to go to God like an infant goes to its mother. I was driving down the street just processing that. I was on Highway 30 and I'm thinking, like, what does that mean to go to God like an infant goes to its mother? Like, an infant cannot survive without its mother. Like, it's not possible. Or without a parent or an adult taking care of it. If you remove an infant from an adult, it will die. How do we go to God recognizing without God, we're dead? Without God, there's nothing. And how do we live our 2018 that way? How do we go forward in this year and say, okay, if God has revealed himself as El Shaddai, if that's how Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, you know, if that's how they referred to God as the all-sufficient one, the one that is everything they need to live, how can we live our lives that way in 2018? With that total dependence on God, that sense of if I'm not connected to God, I will die. That's quite the commitment. That's quite the reliance. That's quite the trust. So the other thing this idea of this invitation, what does it mean for us as a church to invite people to come and to invite them to worship with joy at God's table? I want to talk for a moment about this table that we come to that's central to our worship. In Christian churches, Disciples of Christ, the communion is the central point of our worship service. And every church does it differently. Some say to put it central means to put it at the beginning. It's a priority. It's first. Others put it at the end, so it's the last thing you think of before you leave. Other people put it in the middle of the worship service, so you build up to it, and then you move away from it. But this table has a lot of meaning and a lot of symbolism. So one of the symbolisms that's quite obvious to us as a church is that it represents the body of Christ. We talk about that. It reminds us that Jesus died on the cross for us and that he rose to life and that we have received forgiveness of sins. And we're told in the New Testament that when we partake of it, we're supposed to think upon the body of Christ. That to take it in a worthy or respectful manner is that when we receive it, we are thinking about the body of Christ. Now, there's two ways of thinking about it. One is that as we participate, we're thinking about Jesus' physical body. But another way is to talk about his spiritual body in us. So another way we come to this table is by recognizing the body of believers, both here and across the world, and to think about what does it mean to be part of his body of Christ, part of his message in the world. And what does it mean to invite people to this table? What does it mean to say to your friend and your neighbor, the person who comes and fixes your cable that really annoys you because they took 3 months to show up? What does it mean to invite them to this table? Tables where family gathers, right? It's where friends gather. In Appalachia culture, if you eat a meal with somebody, you can't be mad at them anymore. Did you know that? Yeah, in the Appalachian Mountains, if you eat a meal with someone, you have to drop whatever anger you have. So, you know, there's these battles, the McCoys and who is it?
Hatfields
and McCoys. I actually met the McCoys, by the way. They were members of my church in Virginia. But so the Hatfields and the McCoys, if they sat down and shared a meal, they would have to stop their disagreement. Because sharing a meal together is a place of truce. It's a place of reconciliation. So what does it mean for this table to be that for us? A place where we come together and we reconcile. And what does it mean to invite people to this table and say, we share the same meal. We're brothers and we're sisters in Christ. No matter what you look like, no matter where you've come from, no matter what you've done, it's a truce. It's friendship. It's forgiveness. And then what does it mean to worship with joy? See, as a pastor, my desire for each of you is that you worship God with joy, that you get to have those moments and those experiences where you, the whole world disappears and it's just you and God. Those moments are so precious. And when you have had that experience and you know what that's like for everything to disappear except for you and God, it's the most powerful moment that carries you through life. And it's a moment that makes you know God is real. God exists. And no matter what anybody else tells me, because of that moment I had worshiping God, I know that no one can tell me God doesn't exist because he exists. And so as a pastor, that's my desire for each of you, is that you will worship with joy our great and mighty God. And so one way we're going to do that is by looking at different ways to identify with God. Because some of us connect with God in this way, and some connect with God that way. And we use different names. You know, some people pray to Jesus. Some people say, hey, Holy Spirit. Some people say, God, my Father, God, my Creator, God, the Sustainer. And so I'm hoping that over the next several weeks, you'll get to learn new names of God that will help you to pray and to talk to him, and maybe talk to God in a different way than you have before. So kind of like El Shaddai, as I had this image of a new mom and realizing, like, I'm supposed to be like that baby to God, that really this week was something that pulled me into God's presence. It really was something just to process and to think about and to ask, how do I live like that baby that can't be sustained without their parent? How do I live in such a way that I recognize I can't live without God? How do I live in such a way that I recognize that God is my nourishment and God is my rest and God is absolutely everything I need? And yet at the same time, while he's everything that I need, he is also the El Shaddai that's the destructive strength. So this caring, gentle, nourishing God is also has this power of destructive strength, and yet he holds me near. He has the power to do that, and yet he holds me near. Like, what does that mean? There's an image that to me symbolizes that. When I was in college, we would spend like a week doing mission trips or mission projects. I went to a Christian college, and that's how we started the school year. And then in the middle of the year, the professors would announce in the morning, no class, and we would have a day of mission. And you didn't know when it would happen, but if you had a test that day or if a paper due, that test would not happen, the paper would be forgiven, and we would go to service projects instead. It was great. So anyways, I remember. But first, we all had to meet in the chapel because we had chapel in the morning, and that's when you would find out it was that day. So you'd come to the chapel like you normally did, and it would be different, and there would be somebody to stand up and make an announcement. Hey, everybody, today is the day. If you had a paper due, guess what? You don't have to write that paper. You don't have to turn it in. If you had a test, guess what? You all got an A on that test. We're going to go serve. So on either that day or the week of serving, I'm not sure which, this guy got up, and he was wearing these bib overalls, and they had tears in them and paint all over them, and I mean, you could tell these overalls have been used for a lot of work. He was kind of an odd fellow anyways, and he had this hat on funny, and he was wearing a fun, very vibrant shirt, a very live, vibrant shirt. And he got up there and he's like, I want to talk about who Jesus is today. And up on the big screen, this picture appeared, which was not the Jesus I knew. And there's a picture of an Indian chief, a Native American chief, with the whole headgear and his full warrior outfit on. And he's sitting there, and he's holding children. And it was like, whoa, this really strong chief who could be a destructive strength is sitting there tenderly holding all these children, and they're all around him. And the person on stage said, that's who Jesus is. And that's who the El Shaddai is. That's who God is. God is that tender, loving care, even though God has destructive strength. And yet he's tender with his children and invites us to come and be nourished by him. God is enough. God is all that we need. So I hope that you guys are up for this adventure of coming to know God with different names and praying to him with those different names. And the bulletin, you'll see there's a bookmark. Each week, except for when I'm not here, there will be, actually maybe we'll still do one next Sunday, but there will be a title, a name that you can use to talk to God, to pray to God, El Shaddai, and definitions of what that name can mean. So one thing you can consider is during the week to really be prayerful and talk to God about what does it mean for you to be El Shaddai. And then on the other side, each month we'll have a theme for a spiritual discipline. So prayer, fasting, service. And the first week it will explain what that spiritual discipline is. So this month it's prayer. So it defines prayer. Then week two, there will be an example. So next week there will be an example of a prayer you can pray. Then the third week, it will have exercises you can do. So ways you can do this prayer. So there will be examples. And then the fourth week, there will be a challenge. Something for you to try that you probably haven't tried. It'll be a kind of a stretch on the spiritual discipline. And the Bible reading, I'm going to be putting down what I'm reading. So whatever I have read the previous week is going to be there. So you know what your pastor's been reading. And you're welcome to be a week behind me on that. So my goal is to read through the whole Bible in 4 to 5 months. I read about this guy. He basically sits down and he reads 20 minutes through the Bible nonstop. He doesn't allow himself to stop and process it. He just sits down and reads through 20 minutes, and then he will process it, which I normally will read a little bit, and I process it, and I get lost, and I don't get that far. So I'm trying his method this year of reading quickly for 20 minutes and then stopping and processing. So if you want to be a week behind me on my reading, you're welcome to do that. Also in your bulletin, you will find a list of names of God that we can use to worship God in prayer. And these are mostly Hebrew names that I've listed here. I started the week, I was going to give you an entire list of all the ways that God has revealed himself in the Bible, but I want you to know it is really long, and I started typing it, and I just got tired of typing it. It's pages and pages and pages and pages of all the different ways God has identified himself. So we're not going to cover all the ways that God has revealed how we can talk to him, but here are just some that you can use in your prayer life, since prayer is the focus. Anyways, I hope that this is helpful to you. I'd like to say a prayer real quick. El Shaddai, we come before you and we recognize that you are the all-sufficient one. You are everything that we need. You are enough. There are names that we have used to come before you in prayer that are very familiar to us. But today we've been introduced to a new name. Show us who you are in new ways this year. Help us to worship you with all of what we are. Lord, give each person here an experience of you that will make it so that they can't deny your existence. Lord, bless this church. Make it fruitful. Help us to multiply for your glory. Lord, bring many people to this table that they might worship you with joy. We love you. In Christ's name, amen.